14. 3 hours later, Lift sat in the center of the fat scribe's desk, eating pancakes with her hands and wearing the spindly scribe's hat. A swarm of lesser scribes searched through reports on the ground in front of her. Piles of books scattered about like broken crab shells after a fine feast. The fat scribe stood beside the desk, reading to Lift from the span reed that wrote Gawk's end of their conversation. The woman had finally pulled down her face wrap, and it turned out she was pretty, and a lot younger than Lift had assumed. "I'm worried, Lift," the fat scribe read to her. "Everyone here is worried. There are reports coming in from the west now. Steen and Alm have seen the new storm. It's happening like the Alethi warlord said it would, a storm of red lightning, blowing the wrong direction." The woman looked up at Lift. "He's right about that.
Say it," Lift said.
"Your pancakefulness
rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it?"
"His Imperial Excellency is correct about the arrival of a strange new storm. We have independent confirmation of that from contacts in Shinovar and Eerie. An enormous storm with red lightning blowing in from the west."
"And the monsters?" Lift said. "Things with red eyes in the darkness?"
"Everything is in chaos," the scribe said. Her name was Genna. "We've had trouble getting straight answers. We had some inkling of this, from reports on the east coast when the storm struck there before blowing into the ocean. Most people thought those reports exaggerated and that the storm would blow itself out. Now that it has rounded the planet and struck in the west, well, the prince is reportedly preparing a diktat of emergency for the entire country." Lift looked at Windle, who was coiled on the desk beside her.
"Void bringers," he said, voice small. "It's happening. Sweet virtue. The desolations have returned."
Genna went back to reading the span read from Gawk.
"This is going to be a disaster, Lift. Nobody is ready for a storm that blows the wrong direction. Almost as bad, though, are the Alethi. How do the Alethi know so much about it? Did that warlord of theirs summon it somehow?"
Genna lowered the paper. Lift chewed on her pancake. It was a dense variety with mashed-up paste in the center that was too sticky and salty. The one beside it was covered in little crunchy seeds. Neither were as good as the other two varieties she'd tried over the last few hours.
"When's it going to hit?" Lift asked.
"The storm? It's hard to judge, but it's slower than a high storm by most reports. It might arrive in Aesir and Tashik in 3 or 4 hours.
"Write this to Gawk," Lift said around bites of pancake. "They got good food here, these pancakes, with lots of variety. One has sugar in the center."
The scribe hesitated.
"Write it," Lift said, "or I'll make you call me more silly names."
Genna sighed, but complied.
"Lift," she read, as the span reed wrote the next line from Gawk, who undoubtedly had about 15 viziers and scions standing around telling him what to say, then writing it when he agreed. "This isn't the time for idle conversation about food."
"Sure it is," Lift replied. "We gotta remember. Storm might be coming, but people will still need to eat. The world ends tomorrow, but the day after that, people are going to ask what's for breakfast. That's your job."
"And what about the stories of something worse?" he wrote back. "The Alethi are warning about Parshmen, and I'm doing what I can on such short notice. But what of the void bringers they say are in the storms?"
Lift looked at the room packed with scribes.
"I'm working on that part," she said.
As Genna wrote it, Lift stood up, wiping her hands on her fancy robes.
Hey, all you smart people! What you found?
The scribes looked up at her. Mistress, one said, we don't have any idea what we're even looking for.
Strange stuff.
What kind of strange stuff? Asked the scribe in yellow, the spindly fellow, who looked silly and balding without a hat. Unusual things happen every day in the city. Do you want the report of the man who claims his pig was born with two heads? What about the man who says he saw the shape of Yezir in the lichen on his wall? The woman who had a premonition her sister would fall and then she fell?
Nah, Lift said. That's normal strange.
What's abnormal strange, then? He asked, exasperated. Lift started glowing. She called upon her awesomeness, so much that it started radiating out of her skin like she was a starving sphere. Beside her, the seeds on top of her uneaten pancake sprouted, twisting about one another and growing long, twisting vines that curled around one another and spat out leaves.
Something like this, Lift said, then glanced to the side.
Great. She'd ruined the pancake. The scribes stared at her in awe, so she clapped loudly, sending them back to their work. Wendell sighed, and she knew what he must be thinking. 3 hours, and nothing relevant so far. He'd been right.
Yeah, they wrote stuff down in this city. That was the problem. They wrote it all down.
There's another message from the Emperor for you, Genna said.
Your pancake...
Storms, that sounds stupid.
Lift grinned, then looked over at the paper. The words were written in a flowing, elegant hand. Probably Fat Lips.
Lift, Genna read, are you going to come back? We miss you here.
Even Fat Lips? Lift asked.
Vizier Noora misses you too. Lift, this is your home now. You don't need to live on the streets anymore.
What am I supposed to do there if I do come back?
Anything you want, Gawx wrote. I promise. That was the problem.
I don't know what I'm going to do yet, she said, feeling strangely isolated, despite the room full of people. We'll see.
Genna eyed her at that. She apparently thought that what the Emperor of Aesir wanted, he should get, and little reshy girls shouldn't make a habit of denying him. The door cracked open, and the guard captain from the city watch peeked in. Lift leaped off the desk, running over to her, then hopping up to see what she was holding. A report. Great. More words.
What did you find? Lift said eagerly.
You are right, the captain said. One of my colleagues in the quarters watch has been watching the Tashi's light orphanage.
The woman who runs it, the stump, Lift said. Meanest thing. Eats the bones of children for afternoon snack. Once had a staring contest with a painting and won.
Is being investigated. She's running some kind of money laundering scheme, though the details are confusing. She's been seen trading spheres for ones of lesser value, a practice that would end with her bankrupt if she didn't have another income scheme. The report says she takes money from criminal enterprises as donations, then secretly transfers them to other groups after taking a cut to help confuse the trail of spheres. There's more, too. Either way, the children are a front to keep attention away from her practices.
I told you, Lift said, snatching the paper. You should arrest her and spend all her money on soup. Give me half for telling you where to look, and I won't tell nobody.
The guard raised her eyebrows.
We can write down that we did it if you want, Lift said. That'll make it official.
I'll ignore the suggestions of bribery, coercion, extortion, and state embezzlement, the captain said. As for the orphanage, I don't have jurisdiction over it, but I assure you my colleagues will be moving against this stump soon.
Good enough,
Lift said, climbing back up on the desk before her legion of scribes.
So what have you found? Anybody glowing? Like they're some stormin' benevolent force for good or some such creme?
This is too large a project to spring on us without warning, the fat scribe complained. Mistress, this is the sort of research we normally have months to work on. Give us 3 weeks and we can prepare a detailed report.
We ain't got 3 weeks. We barely got 3 hours.
It didn't matter. Over the next few hours, she tried cajoling, threatening, dancing, bribing, and, as a last-ditch crazy option, remaining perfectly quiet and letting them read. As the time slipped away, they found nothing and everything at the same time. There were tons of vague oddities in the guard reports. Stories of a man surviving a fall from too high, a complaint of strange noises outside a woman's window, Spren acting odd every morning outside a woman's house, unless she left out a bowl of sugar water. Yet none of them had more than one witness, and in each case the guard had found nothing specifically strange other than hearsay. Each time a weirdness came up, Lift itched to scramble out the door, squeeze through a window, and go running to find the person involved. Each time, Wendell cautioned patience. If all these reports were true, then basically every person in the city would have been a surge binder. What if she ran off chasing one of the 100 reports that were due to ordinary superstition? She'd spend hours and find nothing. Which was exactly what she felt like she was doing. She was annoyed, impatient, and out of pancakes.
I'm sorry, mistress, Wendell said, as they rejected a report about a Vaden woman who claimed her baby had been blessed by Tashi himself, to have lighter skin than his father, to make him more comfortable interacting with foreigners.
I don't think any of these is more likely a sign than the one before. I'm beginning to feel we just need to pick one and hope we get lucky.
Lift hated luck these days. She was having trouble convincing herself that she hadn't hit an unlucky age of her life, so she'd given up on luck. She'd even traded her lucky sphere for a piece of hog's cheese. The more she thought of it, the more that luck seemed the opposite of being awesome. One was something you did, the other was something that happened to you no matter what you did. Of course, that didn't mean luck didn't exist. You either believed in that, or you believed in what those Vorin priests were always saying, that poor people were chosen to be poor on account of them being too dumb to ask the Almighty to make them born with heaps of spheres. So what do we do? Lift said.
Pick one of these accounts, I guess, Wendell said. Any of them, except maybe that one about the baby. I suspect that the mother might not be honest.
You think?
Lift looked over the papers spread before her. Papers she couldn't read, each detailing a report of some vague curiosity. Storms. Pick the right one and she could save a life. Maybe find someone else who could do what she did. Pick the wrong one, and darkness or his servants would execute an innocent, quietly, with nobody to witness their passing or to remember them. Darkness. She hated him suddenly, with a seething ferocity that startled even her with its intensity. She didn't think she'd ever actually hated anyone before. Him, though. Those cold eyes that seemed to refuse all emotion. She hated him more for the fact that it seemed like he did what he did without a shred of guilt.
Mistress? Wendell asked. What do you choose?
I can't choose, she whispered. I don't know how.
Just pick one.
I can't. I don't make choices, Wendell.
Nonsense. You do it every day.
No, I just...
She went where the winds blew. Once you made a decision, you were committed.
You were saying you thought this was right. The door to their chamber was flung open. A guard there, one Lift didn't recognize, was sweating and puffing.
Status 5 emergency diktat from the prince to be disseminated through the nation immediately. State of emergency in the city. Storm blowing from the wrong direction. Projected to hit within 2 hours. All people are to get off the streets and go to storm bunkers, and Parsh men are to be imprisoned or exiled into the storm. He wants the alleys of Yedah and Slot cities evacuated, and orders government officials to report to their assigned bunkers to do headcounts, draft reports, and mediate confusion or evacuation disputes. Find a draft of these orders posted at each muster station, with copies being distributed now.
The scribes in the room looked up from their work, then immediately began packing away books and ledgers.
Wait, Lift said as the runner moved on. What are you doing?
You've just gotten overruled, little one, Genna said. Your research will have to be put on hold.
How long?
Until the prince decides to step down our state of emergency, she said,
quickly gathering the span reeds from her shelf and packing them in a padded case.
But the Emperor,
Lift said, grabbing a note from Gox and wagging it.
He said to help me.
We'll gladly help you to a storm bunker, the guard captain said.
I need help with this problem. He ordered you to obey.
We, of course, listen to the Emperor, Genna said. We will listen very well.
But not necessarily obey. The viziers had explained this. Aesir might claim to be an empire, and most of the other countries in the region played along, just like you might play along with the kid who says he's team captain during a game of rings. As soon as his demands grew too extravagant, though, he might find himself talking to an empty alleyway. The scribes were remarkably efficient. It wasn't too long before they'd ushered Lift into the hallway, burdened her with a handful of reports she couldn't read, then split to run to their various duties. They left her with one junior subscribe who couldn't be much older than Lift. Her job was to show Lift to a storm bunker. Lift ditched the girl at the first junction she could, scuttling down a side path as the girl explained the emergency to a bleary-eyed old scholar in a brown shikwa. Lift stripped off her nice Azish clothing and dumped it in a corner, leaving her in trousers, shirt, and unbuttoned overshirt. From there, she set off into a less populated section of the building. In the large corridors, scribes gathered and shouted to one another. She wouldn't have expected such a ruckus from a bunch of dried-up old men and women with ink for blood. It was dark in here, and Lift found reason to wish she hadn't traded away her lucky sphere. The hallways were marked by rugs with Azish patterns to differentiate them, but that was about it. Periodic sphere lanterns lined the walls, but only every fifth one had an infused sphere in it. Everyone was still starving for stormlight. She spent a good minute holding to one, chewing on its latch and trying to get it undone, but they were locked up tight. She continued down the hallway, passing room after room, each stuffed with paper, though there weren't as many bookshelves as Lift had expected to find. It wasn't like a library. Instead, there were walls full of drawers that you could pull open to find stacks of pages. The longer she walked, the quieter it became, until it was like she was walking through a mausoleum for trees. She crinkled up the papers in her hand and shoved them in her pocket. There were so many she couldn't properly get her hand in as well.
Mistress, Wendell said from the floor beside her, we don't have much time.
I'm thinking,
Lift said, which was a lie. She was trying to avoid thinking.
I'm sorry the plan didn't work, Wendell said.
Lift shrugged.
You don't want to be here anyway. You want to be off gardening.
Yes, I had the most lovely gallery of boots planned, Wendell said. But I suppose we can't sit around preparing gardens while the world ends, can we? And if I'd been placed with that nice Iriali, I wouldn't be here, would I? And that radiant you're trying to save, they'd be as good as dead.
Probably as good as dead anyway.
But still. Still worth trying, right?
Stupid, cheerful void bringer.
She glanced at him, then pulled out the wads of paper.
These are useless. We gotta start over with a new plan.
And with much less time. Sunset is coming along with that storm. What do we do?
Lif dropped the papers.
Somebody knows where to go. That woman who was talking to Darkness, his apprentice, she said she had an investigation going. Sounded confident.
Huh, Wendell said. You don't suppose her investigation involved a bunch of scribes searching records, do you?
Lif cocked her head.
That would be the smart thing to do, Wendell said. I mean, even we came up with it.
Lif grinned, then ran back in the direction she'd come from.